And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
For the next few weeks, I would like to turn our attention to some people who are sometimes overlooked. That may be true here. It's certainly true in some other places. Stated another way, I want to spend a little time thinking about church dropouts. One researcher who has spent a lot of time in this area says that 50% of all people who are religious drop out of service to God at one time or another in their Christian life. If this figure is anywhere near accurate, church dropout is a serious problem. The New Testament indicates, as far as I can tell, that this conclusion is about right. Think about, if you will, the parable that was just read by Larry. There was a man, Mark 4:3, who sowed some seed. Some of the seed, according to verse 4, fell on the ground, and in verse 15, Jesus explained this part of the parable. He said that there are some who are exposed to the Word of God, but they soon move on to other things. They're not real interested. Jesus described a second kind of person in Mark 4, verse 5. He said there are some respond. And as he commented on this in verse 16, he said that these people respond with joy. The initial response is quite good. They begin to grow. They begin to put down roots. But the Lord said that they do not last for very long. They do not have a good root system, verse 17, so they die. In verse 7, Jesus describes a third kind of convert. He says there are some who become Christians, and they are faithful to God for a while. They start off so well, they begin to grow, they begin to produce. But these two are choked out for one reason or another. As you look at the four illustrations in Mark 4, the parable is also in Luke chapter 8, you find that there is only one. One type of person, one seed in this story, or one section of the seed that actually produced. So in this parable, the dropout rate, or the death rate, if you will, is 75%. That's in the same ballpark as the researcher's figure. In the New Testament, as we look at the Bible, I'm going to cite John 6:66 and then turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. But in John 6:66, we find that there were some disciples. In fact, the Bible says many of the Lord's disciples went back and walked no longer with him. That's what the text says. Jesus Christ had some people leave him. There were some people who said to the Son of God, to God himself, we're leaving, we're quitting, we're no longer going to be associated with you. So Jesus himself had to deal with, shall we say, church dropouts. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it sounds like these words were written by a broken-hearted man. Paul was someone who also knew about church dropouts. It seems that these people were close to him. Perhaps they had been very close friends, and it sounds like Paul had shed some tears over them. 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all that are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. If you turn to this passage, you might skip over a couple of chapters to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, because in the first part of this verse, we read about some others who were church dropouts. Paul said, For Demas hath forsaken me and loved this present world. And then as you skip down six verses to 2 Timothy 4:16 towards the end of the chapter, he talks about some others who may not have been dropouts, but at least they were not real committed. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. Paul was able to name some church dropouts. He knew some people who were not like the good soil in Mark chapter 4. In 1 John 2, verse 19, John spoke of people who went out from the people of God. That is, they were church dropouts. They did not stay with the program. There is no question that some Christians have literally gone out the back door, both in New Testament times and even now. Since this has been a problem for a long time, should we be concerned? Should we do anything? If so, what should we do and what can we do? Well, the first of these questions relates to concern, and we should be concerned. There are a number of organizations in life that people can leave and not face any consequences. But when we think about the Church of the New Testament, we are dealing with an organization that is special, a group of people that is unique. This is clear from Acts 20, verse 28, because Paul says in that passage that Christ died for the church. Jesus' blood was the purchase price for the church. So when the people leave the Lord's body, they leave the place that Jesus paid a very high price for. And this is a serious decision. The Hebrew writer has something to say about this in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer had a different point in mind, but what he has to say in Hebrews 10, verses 28 and 29 still applies. In Hebrews 10, 28, the writer referred to the Old Testament. In verse 29, he spoke about Jesus' blood, and we will read about both of these things, starting with verse 28. A man that hath set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. It was serious to not be involved with the Old Testament system. And then in verse 29 it says, of how much sore punishment think ye shall he be that judge worthy that hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done respite unto the Spirit of grace. To say goodbye to Jesus, to become a church dropout, to say we're no longer going to be involved is a very serious matter. Since it is a matter that has grave consequences, what do we say to the person who says, I'm done, I'm quitting, I'm through? Well, some might say we should turn that person over to the elders. It's the preacher's job. We've got a deacon in charge of visitation. Let's shove it on him. Well, preachers, deacons, elders, they all have a part. But this area of work is not limited to these groups of people. You may remember in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Talking to people who were overtaken in any trespass. Paul did not specify the elders, the preachers, or the deacons. He said that those who are spiritual. Well, who are the spiritual? Do you remember back to Mark 4? Jesus described four different kinds of people. The spiritual people in Galatians 6:1 are like the good seed in Mark chapter 4. The people who are productive, the people who are committed to God, the people who are active. In light of Galatians 6 and Mark chapter 4, God seems to say this. When we find someone who is a Christian, it would appear that they are in one of two categories. The first possibility is that the Christian is like the good seed, active, busy, and productive, fruitful in the kingdom of God. The second category is not a desirable category. There are different aspects to this second category, but the one thing that it seems to be in common, if people are in the second group, they're like the seed in Mark 4 that's either dead or in danger of dying. As I read both Testaments, it's very, very difficult to find any kind of third category. When you look for a third category, you find passages like Revelation 3, verse 16. There were some people who thought that they would be lukewarm. And Jesus said, it's not acceptable. I will spew you out of my mouth. We must be in one category or the other. Well, what causes people to be in one category or the other? And if we find someone who is like the dead or dying seed in Mark chapter 4, what can we do to help them? If we're like the busy and productive seed and others are not, what should we do? Well, for the next couple of weeks, we hope to explore these questions in some detail. But for this morning, we may make a preliminary observation. The people who are like the good seed in Mark chapter 4 are those who have made Christianity the priority in their life. That is their number one goal, going to heaven. These people have determined that they are not going to quit. They are going to be determined to God and be involved in His service no matter what. In recent weeks, some of us have spent some time in the adult class looking at Philippians chapter 1. Paul, in this chapter, describes himself in terms which are consistent with the information in Mark chapter 4. And as we look at this chapter, it gives us some insight as to what made Paul this way, what kind of attitude that he had. I want to start with verse 1 of Philippians 3. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you to me, indeed, is not irksome, but for you it is safe. Paul wrote the same things. When we think about someone being the good seed in Mark 4, they're not ashamed to be reminded of the basics from time to time. To be the good seed, we need to be reminded of the basics, the foundation of the faith, and that's helpful for the new people. They need to be exposed to it as well. For the, shall we say, back door to be closed, people need to be taught. and they need to know the fundamentals of the faith. Most of us who have gone through at least a portion of our educational system can say the ABCs. We can start anywhere in the alphabet. We can start with T, and we know what letter is supposed to come after that. And for the mature Christian, that same kind of knowledge should be true in regard to the fundamentals of the faith. That information should be information that we know frontwards and backwards. We should be able to, at a moment's notice, pick up with that subject and talk about it, to teach it to people, to share it with people. And part of that foundational information is our commitment to God. There's some people who are Christians for 20 or 30 years, and they never really seem to understand that. But this is a first principle issue. In verse 8 of Philippians 3, Paul had to say this about his commitment. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he says this concerning his commitment. For whom? I suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but refuse. That's trash. That's garbage. That I may gain Christ. Paul suffered the loss of all things. There's some who believe that when Paul became a Christian, this means that his wife left him. And that may be the case. He may have been married. His wife may have said, if you become a Christian, our marriage is over. And Paul said, if he was married, I've made my choice. I don't want you to leave. But Paul made Christianity his number one goal. He was willing to give up and did give up everything he had for it. In Philippians 3:12, we find that Paul pictured Christianity as a race. And then in verse 20, we spoke about this verse this morning. He said that his citizenship was in heaven. This was the place where he planned on going. And he was going to do everything that he could do to ensure that this commitment to God was not broken. When we look at other sections in the Bible, we find that other people, great people of God, had the same kind of commitment. Think about Noah and his dedication as he built the ark. Abraham was told to go to a place where he didn't know God was leading him, but he was faithful and dedicated. Joseph had faith in God, even though that caused him to end up in Egypt. There was David's faith that allowed him to challenge and beat Goliath. And there was the faith of Elijah when he met the prophets of Baal. The three Hebrews who refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's God. All of these people had the right faith, the right kind of dedication. They exemplify the good seed in Mark chapter 4. Now the time of year is not right for planting crops. We're not thinking about that. But when crops are growing, it's not hard to go out to the garden that we have or to see perhaps a farmer's field. And there are some sections of a field, there are some crops that seem to withstand whatever weather conditions come. In spite of wind, in spite of violent rain, in spite of the cold, the hail, there are some plants in a field that seem to come through no matter what. And then others, perhaps right beside the healthy one, it's a sick plant, it's not productive, or it's dead. And that same thing is true concerning each one who wears the name Christian. Each person who is a child of God determines what kind of faith he or she has. As we think about that in light of Mark 4, what would we say? Are we like the strong plant that's trying to produce a great harvest? Or are we someone who is in the 75% category? Have we heard the word at some time in the past, but we let it go by the wayside? Jesus in the parable said that a fourth of the seed was like that. And that's probably pretty close to what we find in the world. There are people who, in one way or another, are exposed to the gospel, but they close their ears. They just don't want to hear it. And then we find perhaps about another fourth of the population who are like the rocky ground faith. Oh, little interest in God, little interest in church, maybe buy a Bible, maybe attend a worship service a couple times. Faith starts to grow, but it really doesn't go anywhere and it dies. Then there's the kind of seed that falls among the thorns. And again, this may be a pretty good description of society by and large. Another fourth falls among part of the earth where the soil is pretty good, it starts out well, but other things come up, and then people eventually die as well. Some might say that these questions are offensive. And that certainly may be the case for anyone who's in the 75% group. But is it not better to ask these questions now than to hear Jesus on the day of judgment say, you had your chance. You had your opportunity to be like the good soil in Mark 4. And as I look at your life, you were not like that kind of seed. Three out of the four seeds in Mark 4 were failures. 75% of the crop failed. What does this tell us about the people who are saved? Well, it tells us that Jesus was exactly right. You remember that Jesus said the gate to life is narrow? Do we remember that he said that few find it? Do we remember that he said many are going to think that they were on the right road? Many will arrive at the judgment seat thinking that they were in a right relationship with God, Matthew 7, and then they're going to be turned away. If the judgment day were today, would each person who is in this assembly be like the good seed described in Mark chapter 4? Would there be a single person here who is like the three seeds that did not make it in Jesus' parable? If we're in that 75% category, something's wrong. We're on the wrong road. And we do not say this to be mean. We do not say this to be unkind. But we're concerned about the souls of the people who are here. My soul, your soul, they all count. And if you're in the wrong category, this morning you have a chance to right your relationship with God. If you're a Christian and you need to move from the 75% category to the 25% category, you can make that decision for God and to God, that kind of dedication and commitment this morning. If you've not become a Christian, then you're in one of those three categories. But the Bible shows that you can become a Christian, you can enter into Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27 that we're baptized into Christ. Acts 22:16 adds that our sins are washed away when that occurs. And then we can continue to produce, we can continue to live for God and be dedicated to Him in every way. If you're in the wrong category, and you know it, and this morning you want to change your status and make sure that you're in a right relationship with God, will you not come as we stand and encourage you with this song?
Yeah.